SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering and...
Littering and...
Littering and...
Littering and smoking the...
In this league.
Break it down.
Treylon Burks, we just saw him play bad, and the quarterback play is terrible in Tennessee. I love him, but there's a potential that he's just a bust as an NFL player if he doesn't perform this year. DeAndre Hopkins, it all depends on where he lands and who the QB is and if he's going for money or if he's going to win, where he's going. That is the biggest spot for him, of course. Look, Pickens is a downfield guy for a team that doesn't like throwing the ball downfield that much. Hopefully, and Matt Canada has said we want to throw the ball downfield more this year. Maybe that means getting Pickens more open. Didn't have a lot of separation. Our guy Pat Fitzmaurice has pointed that out. We've gone back and forth. I'm like, he doesn't need separation because he's one of the best contested catch guys in the NFL, but it's also just the targets. You know, there's not a lot of targets to go around in this offense because they don't pass the ball a lot, and he's at least second on the pecking order behind Deontay, maybe third behind Freiermuth. So, and then Kadarius Toney, it's mainly about his voicemails that he leaves people at 3 a.m. last night. No, JK. It's about Sky Moore and the competition that they brought in. This is another thing. If you are not good right off the bat, Andy Reid will replace you. He doesn't care. It doesn't matter. If your name's not Travis Kelce or Patrick Mahomes, he doesn't care who you are. He will rotate you in or out of this offense, and Bieniemy's gone. So, Toney has to make it. I expect him to. I've drafted Toney in a bunch of spots, but it's not hard to squint and see him not performing up to this level, even where he's getting drafted.
So your bust is whom?
Out of that group, I'm going to say Marquise Brown because I think Clayton Tune might be the quarterback for this team most of the year. So I'll say Marquise.
Even and I'm a Marquise guy. In wide receiver three, you still think that's a bust?
I don't want any part of him.
All right.
I don't want any part.
Next category is the injury history. So these are wide receivers that have a bit of injury going with them. I'm going to pick about half the list. Some of the guys that aren't going to make it because they're too low down. Cortland Sutton, Bateman, Juju. I mean, you can maybe argue Michael Thomas, but these ECRs are just so low. They just don't qualify as busts, but they do have injury histories. These guys, injury history. Cooper Kupp at the top. He is the highest valued of all of them. Keenan Allen getting older. Jerry Jeudy is growing some buzz. I will admit, watching him and some of these videos that are out on Twitter, the routes run is pretty impressive. Chris Godwin now. Mike Evans obviously still there, but who the hell is a quarterback? And Mike Williams, who looks like Quentin Johnston has already said he's got a starting gig. So, that puts a little bit in question. So these are your five guys with injury histories. They round from being a top three wide receiver to a middle in wide receiver three. So which will you pick of the bus from the injured riddled wide receivers?
I mean, I hate to be at an echo chamber here, but I've said it for a long time. I just will never draft Mike Williams. It's just never going to happen for me. He has completely let me down from what I expected him to be coming out of college. And, he's a good player. He's still a good player, but I hate the guys that are questionable for 6 weeks after missing 4 weeks. Like, I don't like that questionable tag. He always has it. They drafted his replacement already in Quentin Johnston. I just want nothing to do with Mike Williams. So out of the injury guys, that's my bust.
All right. These are players that are threatened essentially by their teammates. So the argument is, the volume can go to the other guy.
I would say they're more capped. I think capped is probably the word I should have used there.
Capped, threatened, however you want to look at it. Sure. But like, there are a few of these guys, and I'll focus on the top four here because you've got like an almost wide receiver two in there with almost wide receiver ones. Your three or your four. T. Higgins, who is a number one wide receiver according to ECR at 12. And many feel would be a top eight wide receiver if there wasn't a Jamar Chase in town. Devonta Smith, who's number 14 on this list. Debo, crybaby Samuel. Don't ask him about the Eagles or he will cry and hang up on you. or Tyler Lockett. That was the one I almost didn't put on because Lockett is, I think, quite a bit different than them. Though his value is so much less, the bust is a little bit different. You have to pick one of these four that are threatened by their teammates in volume to bust out this year.
It's Lockett. I mean, you shouldn't have left him on there for
me. All right,
me
get him off the list. He's off the list.
No, I'm not doing it. No, too late. It's too late. You already did it. I'm not going back. I don't want to pick any of those other three guys. I will say I do think they're capped, and I think Debo's more capped by McCaffrey than he is by
I would pick Debo of that list. Devonta Smith.
And look, I don't know that there's a wrong answer for where these guys are ranked because it doesn't take much for T or Devonta to lose to be a bust because they are going, you know, right in that low wide receiver one, high wide receiver two territory, right? So I don't think there's a bad answer here if you want to pick someone, but I just trust those guys kind of implicitly. Like Debo, I have a little less trust in, but I mean, I think JSN might be better than Lockett today, so it has to be Lockett out of that group.
I probably would pick Debo. There's just so many weapons there. I know he said he was the injuries and the separation and, you know, they're going to throw the ball downfield a little bit to him more, but you've still got Ayuk, you've got Kittle, you've got McCaffrey. I mean,
he just doesn't need that many touches. He's such a yak guy. Like, just get the ball in his hands in space five times a game, and he's going to rip one of those off for a big game if he's not hurt. So I still believe in Debo a little bit more than most people do, I think.
I guess also there's another element to bust of taking a look at is, like, how many – up and down performances does a player perform. Like, yeah. I think you can look at a player as a bust of, yes, he could have two huge weeks, and then if he has 2 weeks off where there's nothing there, like that.
Yeah, you can average wide receiver two numbers and never finish as a wide receiver two. It's just a bunch of ones and fours. You know what I mean? So
exactly. Let's jump to the injury only, which is really the safe bets. These are the guys that are safe. Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, Tyreek Hill, Stephon Diggs, CeeDee Lamb, A.J. Brown, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Garrett Wilson, Waddle, and Olave.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Chris Welsh
said you were coming.
What else did he say?
He said you were the best in the parsec.
Scott Bogman,
former Imperial sharpshooter.
That's not saying much.
I wasn't a stormtrooper, wiseass.
Please excuse his lack of decorum.
In this league.
This is the way. Stop touching things.
I'm actually going to stop there because I'm going to not let you have Metcalf or Cooper Ayuk you put on here.
I would not pick one of those guys.
Anymore. Okay, so it's essentially almost the majority of the top 13 sands like T. Higgins and Cooper Kupp. One of these guys, they're safe, but if you had to pick one to bust, who would it be?
Why do you want me to pick? I don't think any of them are going to bust.
But you got to pick one.
Not a single one. None.
You gave the caveat. You gave the caveat, but now pick this of the safe wide receivers. Think of value. Think of all of it. Who busts?
Garrett Wilson.
I knew you were going to say that one because I probably would have said that one too. His top 10.
That's all about, like, if Aaron Rodgers just turns into an old man, like you have nothing behind him. So that would be it for me.
Okay. I mean, you could also look at if you think Tua is going to bust with the injury stuff and there's Tyreek Hill in town.
But they did okay.
I know,
but they did okay without him, and the Jets did not. They did not do well without anybody last year. So,
all right, final up here then is the tight ends. We've got the hard to see, which is going to be from the main guys. We've got threatened by teammates, potential quarterback issues, and of the safeties. So, hard to see, Kyle Pitts, who is ECR 6, Pat Freiermuth, who is 8, Evan Engram is 9. And then let's stop there because these others are a little bit deeper. That's tight fine. End is a weird position this year.
It is.
These are the ones you identified because I think, you know what? Let's do this, Boggs. Let's throw Darren Waller in there. You threw him in his injury. I was going to skip it because there's only two guys.
Okay.
Kyle Pitts, Waller, Freiermuth, Evan Engram. Those are four. You didn't say he was hard to see, so maybe you don't pick him, but this is where you do your breakdown. So give me the breakdowns of these four, and then who is your tight end bust?
So for Pitts, it's just the offense, right? It's the offense and the touchdowns and all of that stuff. And the quarterback, like you're going to a first year starter in Desmond Ridder. Who knows what we're going to get out of him. Your offense is run first. That's two factors that could add to him being a bust. I don't think he will be. I think he's still going to be pretty good. I think he's 1,000 yards and 5 touchdowns, which for a tight end is amazing. So I still love Kyle Pitts, but it's not hard to see him busting. For Pat Freiermuth, it's about, you know, just this offense being slow and sluggish and them drafting Darnell Washington and wanting to run the ball a ton with Jalen and Najee. Like they might just be a run first most of the time team, Pittsburgh. You know, play, eat the clock up and hard defense. That might be just the idea of what they're going with this year. So maybe he ratchets it back and maybe Pickens takes another step. There's multiple ways to see him losing time. Evan Engram, it's they added Calvin Ridley. This is why I also have Calvin Ridley and not hard to see, because someone is losing targets. It's most likely, I think, going to be Zay Jones than anyone, but he was good last year. He got targets last year when we didn't expect him to get targets. So now that we're not expecting him to get targets, I also wouldn't be surprised to see him do it again. But Evan Ingram's in that mix. So is Calvin Ridley. So is Kirk is the only guy that I kind of feel doesn't get affected by Calvin Ridley at all. So that's what I see with those guys.
So then who is the official bust?
Man.
Keep making me ask you. You know, I'm like, pick it. And then you go through him, and then you're like, nah, maybe he'll forget, and he won't make me pick him.
Evan Engram, I think, just there's too much going on in that offense for him to put up what he did last year. And he has an injury history as well on top of it. So if I'm picking those guys, I'd pick him. But I'll tell you also, Welsh, I don't want any part of Darren Waller. I will have zero shares. Debro can have all of them. I'm not taking any of them. And I think he's a great player and a good addition, but the dude's injury history scares me so much. I am not doing it. No, thank you. Pass. Hard pass.
Here's some guys that are threatened by some teammates in here. And I'm going to go a little bit bigger, even though there's some deeper ones, just give you some options. TJ Hockenson, which I think this is more about the wide receivers. David Njoku, you tie it to the Deshaun Watson stuff. Cole Kmet, Now, Dawson Knox and Dalton Kincaid, I was going to not put in here, but I think they're interesting because you can see one or two of them going a lot higher. So if you're going to pick your bus out of this territory, I opened it up that I think it's probably those back half guys, but which would be your pick? I feel like I'm going to take a guess. I feel like it's going to be Kmet or Knox because of Kincaid, and then you hate.
I think Knox is too obvious. Like Knox is a guy that I would have cut off if I were you. So I won't even throw him in there. That would be my pick, but he's not. He's too obvious. So yeah, I'll say David Njoku. And for me, David Njoku, it's not so much with Watson. It's about adding Elijah Moore, another guy that could command a bunch of targets in this offense. You're going to go back to Nick Chubb a lot. And I still do have, I think, concerns about Watson are legit. So I think there's multiple factors there for, and I like David Njoku a lot as a talent, but they like using him as a blocker. They added another guy that can catch passes. I think he's being just a little bit overdrafted, and I still have him in that range too. I might have him at 10 where he's going, but I don't want to draft him.
Four tight ends with quarterback issues, Dalton Schultz, and these are 11, 12, 13, and 14 respectively, ECR tight ends. You've got Okonkwo, Dulcich, and Higbee, all with some quarterback issues. I know it's not going to be a Okonkwo because you love drafting him, but where would you identify your tight end bust at?
I would probably have to say, Dulcich, just because it's a new coaching staff. They brought in Troutman because they like him. Albert O is also a very good receiving tight end that could get consideration in this offense. So for me, I have to say that it's Dulcich just because there's probably three other guys there as well. So plus Russell Wilson was bad last year. If they don't fix that, that's step one. But if, you know, that's the parachutes don't go off. If you don't fix Russell Wilson, the rest doesn't matter. The depth chart doesn't matter, but he has to face an uphill battle to be the number one tight end on this team again, I feel like. So I'd have to pick Dulcich out of that group.
And then my favorite, there are four safe tight ends you've identified: Kelsey, Andrews, Kittle, Goddard. If one were to bust, who is it, and why is it George Kittle?
Well, I think George Kittle is the easy one to pick because he's missed games. but also that is probably my pick. Because, well, you know what? I'll say Goddard, because A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith are commanding targets. He should, and they have less in the run game too. So I don't think he busts. I don't think any of these guys busts. He's making me pick one here, people. That's why I have to take somebody. So I'll throw Goddard under the bus instead of Kittle, because, I mean, Kittle just skill-wise is, you know, I think Kelsey's probably the only one as good as him all around as a player, but he just doesn't stay on the field. You know Kittle's missing three games. So
let me ask you, though. Weeks 10 through 18 last year, half-point PPR, Mark Andrews finished as the 15th scoring tight end.
He was dragging around a torn knee that whole time.
So you don't think there's any scenario where he can be a bust? They're going to be the most amazing offense, and he will have
1,000
catches.
Not unless he gets hurt again. The talent is too much talent. They're going to throw the ball more, and he's the number one target still. So, no, unless he gets hurt again, I don't see him busting.
I want to ask you this. How many weeks, he played essentially 15
weeks. He had three injuries last year. You know what, Welsh, if you want to get my full breakdown on Mark Andrews. Okay.
15 weeks he played in games. How many times did he score double-digit points?
Four.
And what do you think is good for a tight end to score double-digit?
10.
10 games? 5 games he scored double-digit.
He should have missed 5 of those games. He should not have been playing.
Four of those were 18 or more points. So, like, the major, it's about half of his production. Just throwing this out. Half of his overall production. No, I'm not making any bets. But, I mean, I knew you weren't going to mention him. Just pointing out, he was trash. The injury was there. The offense is we're going to be better. Almost half of his fantasy points did come from 4 weeks at the beginning of the year, and then it dragged on. Injury,
he got hurt
aside,
like week four he had the shoulder, and then he hurt his knee the week he came back. Like, he had multiple injuries.
I think you're biased in putting him here as so safe. Should have been in a different category because, A, he got hurt last year, and their offense was garbage and crap, and now it's like...
Well, Lamar was hurt last year, too.
Yeah, you're talking about Tyler other Humphrey guys being injured, but not putting Andrews in there, and their offense was stinky, and he was pretty stinky at the back half of the year, whether or not. So I think he actually belongs in a riskier territory.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
ITL Fantasy Podcast Network presents In a World of Football Podcasts That Sounds Like This.
Welcome into our podcast on Suck Talk Radio.
And talk like this.
Wah, 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 wah. Don't draft the running back. Wah, wah.
Because they're not
so much fun.
Bogman, let's not overreact here.
The In This League Fantasy Football Podcast. Featuring Bogman.
Then he came in and he just went ham. Oh, God. Yummy and panties. Like, those are words like men should not say.
And the Welsh.
Well, Brodels is...
Did you just bro another player? You say Brodels instead of Bortles?
I totally called him bro.
Are you broing all of these guys?
Playing on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and TuneIn.
Burn it to the ground!
Coming to your ears. Now,
welcome back, everybody. It's the In This League Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. The Welsh is out. He's on vacation in California, enjoying the Legoland and the beach and the $6 a gallon gas and all that California has to offer. So to replace him, I brought in an OG of fantasy football, one of my favorites ever, Brandon Funston. You can follow him on the Twitter at Brandon Funston, leader of fantasy football at The Athletic. Like I said, one of the OGs. I got to hang out with you, Brandon, this week. We went to the Futures game in Seattle and had a great time. And happy to have you on and mocking with us, man. How have you been?
Yeah, this is my payback for, you know, you letting me hang out with you at the Futures game. So that was an easy deal for me to make. It was great to finally meet you in person. You look exactly the same in person as you do as I'm looking at you right now on
not
our stream.
Not misrepresented. I like
not
that. Thank you.
Misrepresented, exactly. Yeah. But yeah, good to be here, man.
So let's talk tight end premium for a minute here, since that is the mock that we're doing. How does your draft strategy differ when you're going into tight end premium. Does anything change for you, or is it just, yeah, maybe I'll take a tight end early, but if I don't get an early one, I'll kind of wait like I normally would at the tight end position?
Well, I think it's a, yeah, I may take a very specific tight end early. I may take a very specific tight end semi-early, and then I'm starting to get into that, you know, there's a point where I just don't care. And like, I'm going to, there's, you know, the tiers are sort of important at the top, but the players that you're targeting semi-early, they empty out quickly. And then it's almost becomes like you're drafting in a one quarterback league. And when you talk about drafting quarterbacks, you're like, okay, there's a couple quarterbacks I want. If I don't get them, I'm sitting, you know, I'm sitting out for a while.
That's kind of how I see it as well, is that, you know, if I don't get exactly who I want early, I'm probably just going to wait, because yes, the tight ends are more important in this league, of course, because it's 2 points per reception for them instead of one. Right. Everybody else gets one. They get double. It puts Travis Kelce up among like the quarterbacks in terms of projected scoring, which is just crazy.
Right. But
how many do you expect to go in the first round?
One and a half.
So that's if you're at MGM and you're setting the line.
Exactly.
It would be Kelce and Andrew somewhere in there. But so anything more than that would be a surprise.
Well, here's the deal. Other than Scott Fishbowl, I never play tight end premium. I hate the concept. I'm not disparaging anybody who likes that. It, you know, to each their own, but
I like a strong opinion though. Like that.
Absolutely. And, you know, so I don't know what kind of room we're dealing with here, but, you know, I mean, it's, I think 1.5 is the number I would set it at. And if it was a draft room of 12 me's, I would take the under. On the overall.
I agree with that for sure. Why did this start? Okay, sorry. I just had to pause it for a second while we're doing the open here. But yeah, I like a strong opinion on it one way or the other, because it's not something that I would do that often either. So for me, I get it. You know, people like it. I think it's a big reflection of the Scott Fishbowl, number one. I think because Scott Fishbowl does it, a lot of people like to have their league as that. And it's also, you know, it makes it a little interesting. It throws a wrench in things. Some people like to do a tight end premium with like an extra flex as well, so that, you know, you can get more tight ends in your lineup. For me, I think, well, I'm definitely taking one tight end. If Mark Andrews were to fall to me at my pick here, I am at number 9, then I would take him, but I doubt he's going to fall to me. So I'll probably pass, and I'll probably do my normal of taking a running back and waiting on wide receiver, because that's my strategy almost forever. But I will definitely take an upside tight end, whether I get a premium tight end or not. I'll take one of those rookies. I think I'll probably get Laporta or Kincaid, you know, or maybe even Musgrave later. Like, I am definitely going to take an upside tight end just in case one of those guys hits. So that's how my strategy kind of differs, because I am a staunch do not ever take a backup tight end. The only case I would do that in a normal non-tight end premium draft, Funston, is I like to reach on Kincaid and then take a backup. That's it, though. Any other strategy for tight ends, I feel like, is a bit too much. There's no way I'm doubling up on tight ends in a normal 12-man league, because there's just so much on the wire that's going to be good still. Maybe even in this draft, we'll still have good tight ends on the wire, right?
Yeah, and I think that's, you said it. It's like, you don't want to take a backup quarterback either if you're getting a top, say, 6 to 8 quarterback, someone that you really like. You would just wait and you'd plug and play during the bye week and hope the injuries don't hit. But I think you do the same thing with tight end as well, unless you get down to where you're taking an upside guy. Maybe say you're taking an Anthony Richardson as your QB1, then you're suddenly looking for some insurance in a 12-team league, and you want to have the best insurance possible instead of just waiting for Anthony Richardson to maybe flail. And then you're going out there and somebody else has grabbed a few other quarterbacks by that time as well. So, you know, I think the same is with tight end. If you're getting in the, you know, if you're taking a Cole Kmet as your number one, you maybe want to, you know, give yourself 2 bites at the upside apple with the guys in that world. So I think that's how you play it. I'm completely in agreement with that.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get started here. We've got Ben S is picking one, Tavernite two, Funston, you are number three. Ooh. We got our guy Barrow at four, Toft at five, Moyes, a.k.a. Daddy, is six, Famous, a.k.a. Debbie, is seven, Barwich, a.k.a. Bear Effer, is eight, I am at nine, CK is at 10, RFP, the American Sniper, is at 11, and Chad E is at the last pick. He texts me. He is tired of being last because it seems like Fantrax does not like his name, and they send him to pick number 12. So he has multiple drafts. He's going to know his 12 spot strategy by the end of draft season. That is for sure. But here we go. Just so you guys know, this would be a uncensored mock because I just flew in and got home at 2 a.m. yesterday. So this is the first I didn't have all week to edit this podcast. So this will be unedited. So you won't get your curses and drops like you normally would, but you will get a tight end premium mock draft. So away we go. Ben has the first pick. He sticks with Christian McCaffrey. I think that's fine. If you were picking one, Bunsen, would you go with CMC or would you take Kelsey at one in a tight end premium like this?
Gosh, do I feel like I'm giving away? Like I'm so close to my pick.
We're not
like,
live streaming. We're not live. They can't see us.
Okay. Okay. There you go. No, I think the scoring on a two points per reception makes Travis Kelsey the number one pick. And
oh wow, and you get him at three because
I will happily take him there, which is probably the only time I've ever said that about Travis Kelsey in the first half of the first round. But I'm not a big like use your first pick on a tight end guy, but in this format, I think you absolutely have to do it. So
I understand that. Did you pick him?
We'll see if. There we go.
There we go. There we go. You got to him. It was ticking down. I could hear it in the background for you there. You were cutting it close. All right. I'll see if Mark Andrews falls back to me. That would be great. Jamar Chase goes number four. But I don't know. I think I still might take JT here. I think I'm going to go JT first, Mark Andrews second on my board. So
you're just you're an old school running back first kind of guy, huh?
I am. Look, I don't mind Jefferson Chase in the first round. You know, I also put Tyreek Hill up there and Travis Kelsey. Those are my non-running backs that I would take in the first round. Other than that, because I do agree with you, and I do agree with a lot of people, like there are, it's hard to find, especially last year with all the wide receiver issues, it was hard to find some of these guys on the wire, right? Yeah. Wide receivers particularly. But during the draft, I feel like it's harder to find running backs still. Especially with a big group of wide receivers kind of in that second range, you know, of, you know, like a tier from Chris Godwin down to like, you know, for me, down to like Christian Watson. That's like, for me, that's 19 to 30. I like everybody in that tier. So, you know, I want one above that. And there goes Andrews. Two picks ahead of me. Saquon goes, and I keep falling into this too, Funston. Between who are you more in on between Jonathan Taylor and Bijan? Who would you rather have?
Well, this is why I kind of was leaning. I've been leaning more like alpha wide receiver in the first round this year over, you know, I think once you get past McCaffrey and Eckler, like you can start talking, you know, similar kind of, if everything breaks right, upside with maybe six or seven of these guys. And look at Jonathan Taylor's proven, if everything breaks right, he can be the number one fantasy running back
upside.
A difference maker. But I think you can say that about Barkley potentially and Bijan. I mean, I have Taylor ranked three. I think he's closer to the McCaffrey Eckler combo than any of the other guys. I mean, but I really like the first five or six wide receivers as slam dunk alphas. And I'm pretty down with the, you know, like the RB7 to RB15 crew.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
It's got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes. electrolytes.
What are electrolytes? Do you even know? It's what they use to make...
In this league.
I'm the smartest guy in the world? Says who?
IQ test you took in prison. Brought to you by Carl's Jr.
Where I feel like, okay, I like some guys that I think could be true RB1s that I can get in the second, third round. So, I'm a little bit more apt to think wide receiver in the first round this year than I probably have been in several years.
Cleaning up the first round here, it went McCaffrey, Jefferson, Kelsey, Jamar Chase, Eckler, Cooper Kupp, Mark Andrews, Saquon Barkley, Jonathan Taylor, Bijan, Kyle Pitts, Nick Chubb, followed up by George Kittle, TJ Hawkinson, and Tyreek Hill. Oh. I am up right now.
Josh, you almost got Tyreek Hill on the comeback. I
would have taken him too, because yeah. that is absolutely one of my guys, but he went, so Josh Jacobs, I can combo Taylor and Jacobs. I have volume for sure on this team, and in fantasy, volume is key. Like you said, that's why you like the wide receivers. That's why I like these running backs. So I know it's tight end premium, and, you know, I want to get a tight end. I thought about Goddard and Hawkinson. I might have pulled the trigger on there, but Hawkinson went, Kittle went. So Tyreek Hill went. That was a good 1-2-3 in front of me, but I will be fine, quote unquote, settling for Josh Jacobs. And then Barwich takes Diggs. He's starting out with a Barkley Diggs tier, famous up for his second pick to pair with Mark Andrews. He goes AJ Brown. So only, what is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 running backs off the board, in the first 19 picks here. So running backs are cheap. Moy's up one more time to pair someone with Kupp. So Funson, they can't hear us. So who is your number one on the board right now, so we can laugh when they go a pick ahead of you?
Okay. So certainly looking at Ramondre Stevenson, Tony Pollard, maybe Derrick Henry, and then Devontae Adams or CD Lamb. Well, Devontae Adams just went, so never mind on that. But I'm and Tony Pollard just went. So Ramondre Stevenson or CD Lamb, probably where I'm leaning at this point with two. Well, I'm going to get one of them.
There goes Goddard, one pick ahead of you to Barrow. So dealer's choice here between Stevenson and Lamb.
Okay, let's see here. I'm going to go ahead and go with Ramondre, because I have a feeling we're about to hit a running back. So there we go. It's coming. Here we go.
Is it not going for you? There it goes.
There we go.
I heard it clicking down. It doesn't.
Oh, look
like
at
it.
That.
Oh, wow. CeeDee Lamb snap picked.
Yeah, right. I wasn't expecting him in on the comeback, but, you know, I obviously was zeroing in on the right people there.
I did ask you while we were at the Futures game, I said, who are you absurdly high on? And Stevenson was your answer. So I'll say this in the bust episode, and you're up again. It went after Lamb, Garrett Wilson, Jalen Waddle, Josh Allen, and now back to you.
Let's see here. I'm looking at the receivers really quick, but I'm telling you, I think I got to go. The guy I hardly ever draft, but I think the value is great in Derrick Henry.
King Henry. I mean, Kelsey, Stevenson, Henry. I feel like there's no why. Like, why is tight end premium getting you Derrick Henry in the third round? I mean,
I feel like if I'm walking into a bar with Kelsey, Stevenson, and Henry, I'm covered, man. I can.
You're fine. Oh, man. Okay. Amon-Ra St. Brown. So tell us why you are when I asked you and you said Stevenson. Tell us why Stevenson is the guy that you picked when I asked you who you're absurdly high on.
I mean, I loved what he did last year. I know he was, you know, there was some Damian Harris, but he clearly moved ahead of Damian Harris, and then New England let him go. They haven't really replaced that. I think the guys below him are sort of meh. I mean, there is Ezekiel Elliott and Leonard Fournette sitting out there, but I think at this point the tread on the tires with Ramondre Stevenson is going to stand out well above those guys. So there may be somebody that they bring in to, you know, take a specific role, but I think Ramondre proved that he has, you know, a three down skill set. So I worry as much as anybody about the Belichick, you know, aspect of things when it comes to running backs, but I think it's been a while, but guys like Corey Dillon and Lawrence Maroney and people in the past have been bell cows in this offense. I think they're set up for that again.
Yeah. And I agree with that. I'll say when Welsh and I were talking bust earlier this week, by the way, after you picked Henry, when Amon-Ra St. Brown, Mahomes, Hurts, Chris Olave, Breece Hall, and now I am up for my first pick here, and I am having a tough decision on who I want here between Higgins and Metcalf. Give me Higgins. Still, like, they might cut Joe Mixon. They're going to be passing the ball a lot, and it's still – I know Ja'Marr Chase is there, but Higgins is underrated to me. But, my one worry about Stevenson is that they bring in someone. There goes Najee right after. I consider Najee, but three straight running backs. But CK sitting pretty. And, by the way, it feels like you and CK are debating for who is the best team already. Bijan, Tyreek, and Najee with Kelce, Stevenson, and Henry.
Ooh. I do not have a wide receiver, and I'm kind of already going – I'm looking at what's there as my number one is going to be a little bit rough. So, yeah, it's going to be my focus from here for a little while. So you're going to be tipped off to that, but
you will not be getting DK Metcalf because if he comes back well, there he goes. So okay. Don't have to worry about that, but I didn't get him. So you can be happy about that.
that would have been too good to be true to expect him on the comeback, but I certainly had my eye on him. I wouldn't have blamed you if you snapped him up if he was sitting there for sure.
What do you think about the three round start? Well, real quick, getting back to Stevenson, my one worry about him was that they signed Zeke or someone, because I just can't believe that they go into the season with Pierre Strong as the backup to him. So yeah, and I feel I like they're definitely signing somebody.
I can't believe that Zeke is a legit threat. I mean, God, he looked so old last year. Maybe, you know, he comes in a little bit healthier, but I just don't think he has much left to be more than a kind of like a serviceable, you know, semi-involved backup, and
yeah,
get some series here and there. But what do you like Derrick Henry more than Ramondre Stevenson?
I do. I mean, the offense is still all Derrick Henry. I mean, it's built around right. him. He's a freak of nature. I know he got hurt a couple years ago, but he's just a different human being. So
would you have liked it better if I would have took Henry at the end of round two and Stevenson on the comeback?
Probably, but okay. You got them both, so it doesn't matter. I'm going to take Debo. I feel that was my pick. Oh, okay. Well, that makes me feel better. But I feel like Debo is getting a little hate recently. And look, this isn't a guy that needs a million touches because he gets yak. And I think that we forget about that when he's dealing with injuries and stuff like that. But I think getting away from running the ball in between the tackles will help him. A couple of those short passes are going to be taken away by McCaffrey, and he's not what he was going into last year before they had McCaffrey. I agree with that wholeheartedly and understand it, but I still think he's really good. So to wait and get Higgins and Debo as my 1-2, I'm feeling pretty good. Let me ask you about RFP's start here, because he started Pitts and Hockenson. Devontae was his third pick. Etienne is his first running back around four. Pitts and Hockenson, it is tight end premium. Is that a strategy that you would consider, or is that too out there for you?
It's a little bit too out there, but I if you can get Pitts and Hockenson, you get the stars aligning for those guys. I mean, Hockenson was good because he got a ton of volume last year. He wasn't highly efficient with that volume, but in a 2 point per catch league, that kind of volume, and if you're going to get most of your points through the catch volume, I mean, that's exactly what you want here. So I think you got two guys that have a potential to have very high target shares. And yeah, sliding Hockenson into a flex role might not be a bad way to go. I'm up on the clock here, and I got some pretty terrible options here.
London's still there. Christian Watson, Hopkins, Ridley. It is bad.
Yeah, this is my number one guy here, and I got to make it quick. So let's see here. I got 11 seconds. We're going to go. I guess I'm taking T-Mac. Going to put a lot of hope in Sam Howell behind center, but still the lead dog there. I like him a lot. Well, I mean, he's pretty consistent, just probably a capped ceiling over some of these other guys that have gone already.
After you took McLaurin, it went Mixon, Fields, Moore, and Gibbs, and you are back up on the clock. Another wideout. You going to double tap?
Yep, I will go with Jerry Jeudy. I'm going to bet on a little bit of a resurgence with Russell Wilson, with Sean Payton there. I like Jerry Jeudy in a vacuum. Obviously, the the context last year for that team was rough. I think it'll be much better this year. So as a volume guy, I think he's the guy in that passing game.
I am debating on what I want here because there are a couple wide receivers I like in London Watson for an upside play. Quarterbacks are getting thin. We've had a bunch go. Allen, Mahomes, Hurts, Burrow, Lamar, and Fields have all gone. Catching you up after I took Higgins, not sure, you know, Welsh usually does the picks here. Higgins, Breece Hall, Olave, Hurts, Mahomes, Amonra, Derrick Henry to Funston, Josh Allen, Jalen Waddle. Next round went Fields, or excuse me, the other way. It went Aaron Jones, Travis Etienne, Burrow, Debo, Cooper, Lamar Jackson, Kenneth Walker, Darren Waller, Keenan Allen, McLaurin, Mixon, Fields. I am on the clock right now. I'm going away debating.
Yeah, your guy London went, so.
Yeah, it went one pick in front of me, so I'm debating between Watson and another running back. I think I'm going to take Watson here. Just go with some upside at the wide. He's my third, too. It makes me feel better about that. I still need a tight end, but they're all kind of the same at this point.
We've officially reached the abyss of tight ends here.
So after Mixon, Fields, and then we are now currently in the fifth round. I went DJ Moore, Gibbs, Jerry Jeudy to Funston, Cam Akers to Barrow, Godwin to Toft, Evan Ingram to Moyes, J.K. Dobbins to Famous, Drake London to Barwich, Christian Watson to me, Hopkins went to CK, followed by Miles Sanders and Trevor Lawrence to RFP and Chad E.
Sounds like Hopkins maybe lean is a Titans lean at this point.
He went Patriots to minus 300 from plus 500 yesterday on the betting book. So they seem to think he's going to Tennessee, but
I wouldn't hate that. I mean, they're going to run an awful lot, but you know, we saw with AJ Brown how much Derrick Henry can create opportunities for a good wide receiver. So, and a guy that can, you know, catch anything that's thrown his way if you give him a little bit of daylight. So I think that would work out okay for Hopkinson in Tennessee.
So I ended up taking Pat Freiermuth here in the sixth round because tight ends are getting a little dicey.
You felt a little naked there, didn't you?
Yeah, Evan Ingram went to Moyes last round, so it was like now you're down to Cole Kmet, who has to deal with DJ Moore and still Justin Fields. Chiga Conquo is still there, but maybe they send Hopkins and all the receptions go that way. Njoku gets Eli Moore and a rusty Watson, I guess that's what we're calling. Schultz has a rookie quarterback, so I'm just like, I'm poking holes in the other guys. Freiermuth does have, you know, Darnell Washington to deal with, so maybe he'll not be on the field as much, but we'll see. So I took Freiermuth. It went Pacheco, Swift, Madison, Lockett after that. Barrow is up, and then Funston, your pick.
Okay. I'm ready to go. This tight end premium is such a foreign landscape for me here. So we're saying that it's 1 point per reception for everybody else.
Yeah, PPR, but okay. Two for tight ends. Calvin Ridley, one pick ahead of you.
Then I'm going to do something. Like I said, this is foreign landscape for me, but I'm going to.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends? Listen to
In This League.
In the dark.
I'm going to take Tyler Higbee because he's a volume guy. I mean,
100 targets last year. Yeah.
What are you gonna bet that Van Jefferson does or these other guys? We know Cooper Kupp is going to get the lead volume, but I think Higbee is likely set up to be the number two guy in the passing game. So, I think, you know, 70 catches is viable for him, and suddenly that's talking 140 points.
I love it. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to love Higbee going here, like right before Dalvin Cook and Damian Pierce. Right. But for this strategy, that's a 100 target guy. He's going to catch 75 balls. He could be the number two, target guy behind Cup for the Rams. So I think it's a smart pick. So
I got a guy that I'm going to go with, Rashad White. To me, he was the standout guy left. He's kind of like the, in my mind, sort of the Ramondre Stevenson middle class version, in that he's on a team where we expect that if nothing else happens, we're expecting a pretty massive workload. I mean, you get Leonard Fournette out of there. What's the upside on catches? And you look at the history of Baker Mayfield throwing to the running back. It's not as good as Tom Brady, but it's not bad.
Right.
So,
well, you don't want him throwing the ball downfield. So
right.
Give
exactly.
him dump offs. Right. Oh man. These running backs. I want one of Javonte or David Montgomery so bad.
You're still in play, right?
Yeah. Yeah. They're still both there, but like, When I took Pat Freiermuth, these running backs were still on the board: Pacheco, Swift, Madison, Cook, Pierce, White, Connor, Kamara. 8 running backs have come off the board since I did that. So Deontay goes to Famous. I got an apology in the chat from Famous for Deontay, but I already have my 3. He wasn't paying attention. I've got my 3 wideouts. So Javonte is who I want, and Barwich takes Dak Prescott for me. And I will take Javonte as my 3rd running back. I love it. I have everything but a starting quarterback right now, and I am loving this team.
We're going to be fighting over late round quarterbacks here, because I'm in the same boat. So
yeah. And there, a lot are gone.